everybody. Welcome back to Ping. This is episode 207. 207 weeks of the Ping Show, bringing you the news that Microsofties are pinging each other about.
So, except not on AOL Messenger.
Why would we? So it's weird. I talked to some international friends, and it took me a minute to realize sometimes that they didn't use America Online. Right? Like AIM messaging, AOL instant messaging, or AIM, was like my teen years. That was how chat was.
I never used that in Canada.
I was going to say, like,
you wouldn't use it in Canada.
I was like, well, why does everyone use
those would be the
MSN Messenger back in the day?
The CD-ROM discs that they had put in the mail, the back of gaming magazines, and at every single possible electronic store possible.
In fact, at my locker in high school, I collected a bunch of those, flipped them over, made a full-length mirror in my disco locker. Same thing.
Nice.
It's 207. I have nothing witty to say about the number 207. I'm going to assume it's Prime.
Yeah. Is it?
I don't know. I'm just going to assume someone can point us out wrong.
I'm sure someone will tell us in the comments.
In the comments.
Speaking of comments, we have Pierre Cove.
Yeah, we asked, what kind of technology would you like to see in the classroom? And Pierre Cove started off.
Yeah, basically he's looking to see if we're going to be able to make it an all-inclusive hardware-software environment. You know, is it homogeneous? Is it just us? Is it everybody? But, you know, he in fact is bringing up the whole concept of a 1020 style phone. I'm partial to 1020 myself.
Sure.
No, I'm not going to give you my phone. I just realized that comment. He's asking for my phone. Although I did just recently get a new case for it after it's now fixed. So the case is working correctly. But Surfi, obviously Surfi in the classroom. I just actually gave my new Type Cover 2 to my daughter. Because she's allowed to use a Surface in the classroom in the RT. And she was previously using a Bluetooth keyboard, which is having some trouble being able to pair. And so I'm like, here, just use this. So I got a purple one. I've lost
it. Snappy sound.
Hence, I'm just sporting this in tablet mode right
now. Oh, yeah. I can imagine, they talk about smart whiteboards and things. I can imagine there being more interaction.
Yeah.
Like the whiteboard being able to transmit the contents down to the surfaces so you can fill in a worksheet rather than doing it there
Pierre, Pierre and others have mentioned that as an option, like some kind of a smart class application.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Like the whole second screen experience allows you to kind of get the information, like, let's say we're watching a video today in class and everyone can get like the notes about it or all the references or pick up extra biography information about some historical figure.
Very cool.
It would be cool. Cortana in the classroom developed KEC. I'm going to assume that means Kansas City.
Yeah?
Because I'm American-centric. Cortana in the classroom, C-I-N-C.
Yeah.
C-I-T-C.
The CINT? Cortana in the classroom?
It's hard to get off the top of my head. You got it right the second time around. C-I-T-C.
Yeah.
I mean, I can imagine as a... I remember several times where someone would ask a question, and I see this in even adult lectures today.
Yep.
Instructor doesn't know. They could just ask Cortana. It'd be cool if you had a full full hologram right there you can actually ask.
Well, you know that when you're actually delivering courseware, classes or lectures or anything else like that, everybody and their dog is there potentially binging the stuff that you're talking about to be able to counterpoint and have an argument with you, potentially?
Or, yeah, it's interesting. I think the whole idea of a lecture is something that may go away in the future. Yeah. That's a whole other story. Things like there's only so many times you can repeat algebra and have it be unique.
Like, a friend of mine goes and he basically podcasts every single one of his lectures.
So yeah, a lot of them do now.
Just go ahead and you can go if you miss that
MIT,
lecture. You can
MIT
do it.
Has a ton of courses available. Yeah. Princeton, I was doing actually one course on digital signal.
Yep.
Programming, DSP, and was doing it from another college.
Martin Mine brings up my favorite app. I'm a huge OneNote fan, and we use OneNote here to try to have some semblance of collaboration, being that we're in different ends of the building on there. We should almost call this Ping OneNote or Pnote or something.
One Ping
might work for a collaboration because it is just so good. And plus the fact now that we have read-write versions available for iOS.
Everything. Well,
and also,
or just the web.
Yeah, the web now available
as well.
On your phones, on your tablets, on your desktops,
it makes
multi-platform.
It makes it really useful. We share OneNote doc when Joey or another guest host comes in. We just share that out with them.
Yeah.
We get in there. We jot down our ideas and kind of chat during the week, and then our editor has all information right there. It's a really nice collaboration tool.
It's nice to see that actually he even brings up that, did you know we have a Facebook page?
Yeah, it's right there.
Is that the notification we're getting?
No, I think the notification is someone's trying to be our friend or something.
We'll get back to you if you're trying to be our friend on Facebook.
Yeah, we need to figure out our Facebook notifications.
I know. We'll work on it. Yeah. We're
Although I also saw on hashtag Pink Show that we have a postcard that's been sent to us.
I'm excited.
We need to figure out where to get them.
Yes. Well, they're supposed to be delivered here. We'll see
how
it works.
That's what I figured too.
Our first snail mail option from a commentary.
So thank you. We will be looking out for that specifically.
Yep. Do you remember how we gave away 10 petabytes of data? Petabytes of data. When we announced the new name change of SkyDrive.com to OneDrive.com. And then if you signed up for it, you got this extra 100 gigabytes for the first, you know, thousands upon thousands of people. Well, obviously, we were talking about OneDrive for Business as well. And we just announced just recently that we are now going to make it available and upping the limits from 25 gigabytes a subscription to 1 terabyte of data per system as well, which is freaking massive for an individual user.
All space.
Very big, very big amount of space.
I think the idea here is that you may not actually use a lot of that space.
Yeah.
Hard drive space is cheap, and it's just easier when you don't have quotas. I think, I remember when I first started working here many years ago, there were some people on different versions of Exchange and various dog food servers, and some
I
people had,
like 200 megabyte limit of my email box when I started.
I don't know how that would fill in a day for me.
Yeah, easy.
I get lots of cat pictures in my email.
I mean, I'd have, used to be a USB stick. I'd have a USB stick larger in my mailbox.
For your PSD?
Yeah.
For your PSD or whatever.
Craziness. Craziness.
We're beyond that now.
Yeah.
We actually all use Exchange 365 here.
I think I've got, 25 gig now?
I've never had a look at it again.
It just gets big.
So having a 1 terabyte, I don't care if I'm going to have to drop a bunch of my, you know, big code repositories or whatever for a minute.
Again, this is for specific 365 plans for OneDrive for Business. Looking at the list here.
They list
the plans. It's the E-plan, the small business plan, small business premium, mid-sized business, all SharePoint office plans, and also OneDrive for Business standalone with Office Online. They're the ones that all get those new updates for 1 terabyte of space.
Yes, in addition to some of the education plans.
Oh,
as
yes.
Well.
Yeah, yeah.
You should probably look at your, if you're an IT person for your school district, you should probably take a look at the different options there.
A2 and A3, if you're a licensing junkie like GetWired is.
I do not.
You never know. But hey, 1 terabyte, let's go fill it up.
Rick, I believe it was actually the first episode you joined me on Ping, we talked about a bunch of new Windows 8.1 features. This is back in October.
I had the bandages on my hands.
You were a big proponent of hands-free devices at that time.
Yes, I remember that.
Well, one of them I talked about was one of the things I was enjoying was reading lists.
Yeah.
And much like with when 8.1 came to desktops, 8.1 has now coming to phones, and reading list is joining it, and it'll synchronize across all your devices.
Okay.
So a refresher, reading list is a app similar to others that allows you to kind of save a document later for reading. So I just see something pass by on Twitter, I catch the link. My old method was, I'll just leave that page open indefinitely until I get to it.
And then I have 75 different pages open in my browser.
Yeah, and it's not at home, and I remember where the tab was. And Windows now does have synchronized tabs and stuff. Mm-hmm. I do not like mixing my work PC and my home PC, though.
Reading list will solve this for us?
However, yeah, if you're on your phone now and you catch something, or if you're on a desktop, sync it all across. So I know in Windows 8.1, you can swipe in Share to Reading List, and it'll add it in there, and you can categorize and everything. You can do the same thing on phone now.
Syncs across your phone, your tablet, and other systems, and it's all tied in.
Yep.
And you can get this now.
Cross all your devices, available now if you have 8.1 installed.
8.1 dev, which you can always just do a search on how to get that. I installed that on my 1020s recently, and it works out quite well.
I have it on my icon.
But just be aware, it is a developer preview.
Yep.
It is not finished. There are some rough spots.
The biggest thing, I think, is you're out of warranty until it comes out officially.
Yeah. So go check that out.
It's fine.
Reading list. Now, actually, you know, I got to go install that.
Yep. While we didn't find Jimmy Hoffa in this dig, there is a piece of gaming legend has just been put to rest.
Gaming lore, gaming legend, urban myth, perhaps?
Urban legend, urban myth, mythical legend.
Yes.
None of these describe the game we're talking about, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, it was not a very popular game at the time, although I do remember when it came out, and I do remember actually trying to get a copy of it for my friend's house. On the 2600, the nicely platformed Atari, E.T.
E.T., the extraterrestrial.
Yes.
One of the very early movie-licensed games That set the trend for bad games.
I was about to say, this was basically the trendsetter that basically put the curse on all movie-themed games that are out there.
Now, it was at the very beginning, I'll say, of the video game boom. And like a lot of early booms, sometimes there are misses or people try to expand too large, and they paid a lot of money for this huge blockbuster movie license and then just didn't get a quality game put out. So the rumor had it that they had so many of these games, they ended up just dumping them into a landfill in New Mexico. This week, construction workers found that landfill.
Now, technically, it was part of a documentary.
Yes.
Right?
Well, it's funny because there's...
originally, the construction workers found it. That's the urban myth.
There's this article from late in 2013 that we're going to point to as well, where Xbox has been talking, much like Netflix and Yahoo and all these guys, we're going to make original content that you can get exclusively on the Xbox console.
Yeah.
Well, probably an Xbox video, so, you know, everywhere on your devices. And one of them, let me just read this quote real quick. The first entry of the series will address a subject of particular interest to gaming lore, the legend of Atari's buried ET cartridges.
Yes.
Made in the early 80s, it was allegedly so bad Atari buried truckloads of units in a New Mexico landfill, though the legend has not been definitively confirmed. It's confirmed!
Yes,
We've confirmed it, and that's super cool. So
it's actually way better than Geraldo Rivera's Capone's secret safe or secret stuff.
I must have missed that one.
It's legend as well. It's about as impactful as the Atari one. An interesting tweet I saw about this, because this took place over the last weekend or so. I was in Vegas at the time, and one of the tweets that came back was simply just how shocking a reminder it is about how crappy plastic is to the environment. After being buried for 30 plus years,
still there.
There are boxes that are literally completely normal, still in their shrink.
It's amazing how far we've come, too. I mean, the amount of storage that was on those giant hunks of plastic, now everything's digital and we get gigabytes. You have a terabyte of space.
So one more reason why I'm a big fan of downloadable content and downloadable games.
Absolutely.
So if you're interested, Xbox Video's got that documentary. It's not out right now.
Yeah.
It's still going to be coming out, but stay tuned, because I'm sure when the debut happens, we'll also share it with you here on The Pink Show. We don't really have segments on this show, do we? Like, this isn't like the gaming segment, but you know what? Let's keep on the gaming thread. I guess we can do this. Yeah, keep it on the gaming thread. So I'm actually looking for another time investment on my phone. And so I just came across this one here. Project Steel is now going to be available and exclusive to the Windows Phone platform for 90 days. And it's basically a... You call this, it's not platform.
It's
the other one.
It's a platformer. We had a little discussion about platformers.
Arguing about it. It's your platform gaming skills.
Yeah.
There you go. Look at that. Basically, you're a master thief is going to go off and break into a bank and along the way solving puzzles and being able to go off and to get out without being caught or detected or killed. And obviously, you're going to be stealing money along the way. So it's exclusive to Windows Phone Store for 90 days. I'm actually going to go off and download it myself. It doesn't say anything about the game manufacturer for this guy, though.
On the store page, it is NMP Games Oy, which I just learned is Finnish.
Is it
Oy or
Oy? I thought Oy.
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 It's like LLC.
Yeah, yeah.
But like you know how like German companies have GmbH.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's what that is. So that's a European developer out there.
And
so
our price that I see right here listed is only like $1.49.
$1.49. Yeah.
Dollar.
I'd call it a steal.
Yeah.
If you've ever checked into Foursquare at a place with, I believe it's 250 of your closest friends, you go to a sports event, a concert, something like that, and other people have, you'll notice you get the Swarm badge.
It's actually less than that.
Is it 100? Is it Super Swarm and Swarm? Something
like
that?
The Super Swarm and
Swarms.
Yeah,
Swarm
I think it's
like
50. 50 is the Swarm.
You can swarm.
Yeah, I've been in a swarm many times.
I've swarmed at airports. I've swarmed at Seahawks games.
Yes. If you can get cell signal.
So. Unsurprising, you can. So, Swarm. Swarm is a new app that Foursquare is working on. Our friends at Foursquare.
Is it a spinoff? Is it a divorce?
It's funny. There's an entire section of the article about. That's one of the trends we're seeing. You can see Facebook, I believe, did it first with they have like a. Well, for one, they've collected a bunch of apps, right?
Yeah.
Instagram and Vine and all those, and they left them separately. Facebook Messenger, that's what it is.
Yep.
They just separated out. Seems to be a trend to specialize your apps for the tasks that need to get done and create multiple ones if you're a very large and complex website. It's a new trend. I don't know if that's going to work or not. we definitely believe on the Windows platform, Windows Phone platform, blah, about being task-based, about getting able to get in and out into individual things real quick. But Swarm, I like it they talk about their internal nicknames, that Foursquare is Batman and Swarm is Robin. I like to see is there's differences and they're niche based, mm-hmm. so may not be for everyone.
Niche.
Nokia.
It's international audience, man. It works.
And so let's just get to it. So Swarm is more of a passive way of sharing your information,
yep.
Sharing your location, gathering data, and being more use for you when you're doing local search. Local search is essentially the
goal.
They went through a lot of data, which is always a great way to make business decisions.
60 million data points? 60 billion data points?
Some huge number like that. And they noticed one of the things that people often overlook, which is what features are not being used, or mm-hmm. what user scenarios were you planning on solving that aren't essentially being covered or being used. And the one that I always tried to explain Foursquare to people was, when I used to live downtown, there are maybe a dozen bars and restaurants within a block of me, mm-hmm. and I had friends in the area, and if I knew that someone was at one of those bars, I may go join them instead of going off to my own, and vice versa. And Foursquare was a good way of telling my friends, hey, I'm over here, feel free to join me,
right.
essentially. And then there's a whole fun mayorship and points and things like that. Well, what Swarm is going to be able to do is tell me, oh, there are, you know, a lot of people at this bar. Maybe I don't want to go there if it's over full and I'm going to wait an hour for a beer. Or mm-hmm. maybe all my friends are there. And you can more closely take care of your privacy around that. Being a separate app, you can have a select list of people that you're just sharing to.
Okay. I get it now.
So that's a cool thing.
I get it now.
One of the things is one of the things that's interesting is it being a new app, they could start from scratch. You know, not just build on top of updates to their app or have a huge restructuring of their current app. You can build this new one with its new capabilities kind of straightforward, obviously using technology from previous stuff, but without having to completely change the UX on people abruptly bother people, I guess I'll say.
No, that's good.
Unbundling these is a way to kind of do that.
So, I mean, one thing they're talking about here in the article is there's explicit check-ins, and there's also these kind of like, they call them P check-ins, where basically it's like a passive, yeah. where it's just the fact that you're inside that area, it knows the type of area that you're in, the type of restaurant that you're in, even if you don't check in there to tell everybody. Mm. And then it can use what they call these little teeny tiny micro facts to be able to know more about your different types of habits, to be able to make better, more in-tune decisions. For instance, if I've been to 16 Japanese sushi restaurants or something like that over the last little while without checking into them, then it might know that I happen to like to eat sushi.
They talk a little bit about the data, the algorithms.
Yeah.
There are technologies, I guess, behind pinpointing people.
Mm-hmm.
Another part of the technology that they were growing to begin with, it uses a combination of things, right? It's a combination of like Wi-Fi, cell towers, GPS. Because it's always fun trying to get GPS when you're in like a big concert hall or something.
Totally.
And that's kind of a neat way of trying to triangulate where you are via multiple methods and try mm-hmm. to get that more accurate data from it as well.
So this is definitely a really good write-up for what it's about. And it's interesting to note that they made the announcement on the official blog about obviously for iOS and Android and Windows Phone coming soon.
Yep, definitely mentioned us. The Foursquare blog has a nice little introduction to it. Actually, all the details are an exclusive interview they did with The Verge. We'll link that in the show notes.
And if this is something that you're interested in, there's even a sign-up page. You can go and be notified when your client becomes available.
That's all we've got for this week, episode 207 in the can. Thank you so much for joining us. You can follow us all week and continue the conversation at #PingShow on Twitter. Follow us at Mark DeFalco.
At RicksterCDN.
Or
you can even send us snail mail if you wanted to.
You do the address.
It's like Channel 9, it was Channel 9, Building 20, 1 Microsoft Way, Redmond, Washington, 98052. Just in case. Just make sure you put in Channel 9, Building 20. Otherwise, it gets lost. 1 Microsoft Way is actually pretty big.
It is. It's a very big one.
It's a big room.
Ping at microsoft.com, our email address for feedback. Our question for you this week. We just talked about the Foursquare check-in new Swarm app.
Yeah.
There are other ways you could do it. Facebook has their own check-in system. There are other social networks and stuff. Do you check in? How do you check in? What platform do you like? Well, let's talk about privacy a little bit. How do you manage your privacy settings for those things? And what do you think about ambient intelligence gathered from that data?
I don't check in at home. That's my tip.
I don't like the whole check-in at home, check-in like, at
who
work.
Who else is going to become the mayor of your house, really?
I have a roommate.
Yeah, that's true. You could fight back and forth about it. I actually used to fight with a guy with the bar down the street because he was closer to it, and I was a little bit further away, but we could both check in from our couches. And I'd actually have to be in the bar. Side story. We got to wrap up.
Four points.
Our time is almost out with the quarter.
Time is up here.
We have to put another quarter in the machine. So thanks a lot for joining us.
See you next week.
Completely messed up.
Down low, down low, when the whistle blows.